on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield IMG College, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How's it going? Welcome to another edition of YokeCast. We keep plugging through this year, and I'm telling you, there's a lot to continue to discuss here over the next couple of months at least through the school year. It's been crazy just the last couple of weeks and how everything is ramped up, but it's been a lot of fun, no doubt about it. Coming up in the show today, we will, of course, hear from Athletics Director David Herbster. We'll also talk track with Lucky Huber, soccer with Sonny Hintner, and also joining us is Jamie Oyen to talk about the Summit League food fight. That's all coming up in the show today. You know, we're on the verge of the Summit League tournament, and as you probably listen to this, you've either seen or will see the Summit League awards that get handed out throughout the course of the year. And, you know, it's amazing to me that we made it to this point, because when we talked about this a few months ago and the start of the season, there were so many questions that surrounded basketball, college athletics in general. Football had been postponed in some conferences, and for FCS, the entire division moved to the spring. Deciding whether or not teams would compete in spring football was going on. And so when we had these conversations a couple of months ago, there were a lot of question marks around the basketball season. As we got the basketball season started, there were a number of games postponed around the country. In fact, there have been many, many games postponed or canceled throughout the course of the basketball, throughout the course of the country. Some of them obviously have affected us close here. We've seen some changes with some game schedules and some of that, and didn't deal with postponements in basketball. They were canceled if there was any adjustment whatsoever. But for the most part, we've been able to make it through, and we have done so because everybody has done their part. And we heard that so much all throughout the spring last year, the summer, into the fall. Do your part. We can get back to normal. And I don't know how many people started, you know, for after a while, if you kept believing in that. But it's just amazing. We made it to the Summit League tournament. I think this is just huge to get through the basketball season. We've made it to the Summit League tournament, and it says a lot about the student athletes, the coaches, the support staff, the administration, the fans, and everybody involved for doing what we need to do to get to this point. So I'm really excited for the Summit League tournament this weekend, because it's taken a lot for a lot of people to get where we're at. But we're not out of the woods yet, so let's keep plugging away, and let's get through this thing here over the next couple of months. All right, coming up in the show today, we will hear from Lucky Huber and talk track and field. We will also chat with Sonny Hintner. She is a soccer player at USD. And Jamie Oyen will join us to talk about the Summit League food fight as well. We get things started with the athletics director at USD, David Herbster. David, we've been talking about the start of the football season, and it finally got here, finally happened. The Coyotes went to Illinois State, got a very nice victory on Saturday. I know a lot of people were paying attention to that while being at basketball games, kind of the conflict that we're in right now. But nonetheless, it was fun to see the football team out onto the field, and awesome to see them get a nice upset win to start the year.
Right. It was on the road, no less, right? And in a place where we haven't had the best of luck at Illinois State. So, you know, first game out of the chute after 15 months, wasn't perfect. It wasn't super clean, but we forced 7 turnovers, and we took care of business, especially right there at the end of the game. But as much as anything, I think the fact that they were actually able to be out there and play was, to me, that was the win itself. And certainly winning the game itself, just, you know, that's a heck of a lot more than the cherry on the top. That is great. It's a great way to open up the season. And really, it should have been our second game, but it ended up being our first game, the way things rolled out with having to move the Western Illinois game to the end of the season. But, boy, I tell you what, being able to open up the season and with a win on the road, now the challenge too, right, is the short turnaround time we have from that game. You know, we can celebrate that game for maybe a day, right? And then, but with a short week and having been playing North Dakota on Thursday, doesn't leave us a lot of time to turn it around and get back on the road to get up there. So as much as it's nice to celebrate that, I know there's a lot of things that they've worked on this week in a short amount of time to start to clean up, but now turn our attention to North Dakota and see what we can do up there.
You know, as a result of the win on Saturday, the Coyotes are back in the top 25 at number 20 this week. And I realize rankings are just rankings, but at the same time, it's nice in a year like this, especially to get that early national recognition.
You know, it is. Certainly beating the number 7 team in the country at their place, people are going to sit up and take notice. You know, it's interesting, John, too, when I was looking at the top 25, at the beginning of the week, there are 5 teams in the top 25 that have not played a game yet. So we talk about what do these rankings mean. Right now, I don't know. We'll probably have to get halfway through the season and they'll start to make a little bit more sense. That being said, it's certainly the recognition of the accomplishment of not only the win against the number 7 team and doing it on the road. Plus, you know what? We were one of those teams that was just outside the top 25 too. And so it doesn't take much to get up there. That doesn't discount the win or anything like that, but we were knocking on the door. So that win certainly puts us in that top 25. And now the matchup with North Dakota is a huge matchup in FCS with 2 top 20 teams, which makes a lot more interest and a lot more eyeballs on that game.
Yeah, no doubt. And certainly Coyote fans will be ready for a home game the following week and finally get to see this team at home in the inside the Dakota Dome. I bet you're ready to have an official game finally in that building.
You know what? I can't wait. You know, this fall we had Vermillion High School played in there, and we had the South Dakota High School State Championships in there. And of course, we played our fall spring game there this fall. But none of that, all that kind of, in my mind, pales in comparison to having us be able to run out there and play on our home field, open up the dome with the renovations and get all of our season ticket holders, all of our family and parents in there and get the students in there for the first home game. So that's when it's really going to feel real.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll look forward to that. David, last weekend the softball team was out in South Carolina. They were scheduled to play Furman. They got rained out on Friday, and then an announcement that due to a positive test, the weekend series had to be canceled. I know that's tough, having teams away from campus when they get that positive news, because I would imagine there's a lot of logistics, a lot of challenges that go into trying to figure out how to get a team all the way back from South Carolina to South Dakota.
Right. And you know what? We've got contingency plans in place for all of that, but each situation is a little bit different. So you've got to be a little nimble, if you will, to be able to handle all the information and make the best decision. So, you know, we had them PCR tested on Wednesday before they left, but those tests get sent off to a lab. And by the time we got those back, the team was already out there. And the antigen tests leading up to that were all negative. So we get them out there, you get a positive test. Real quickly, we have to turn around and do the contact tracing. And we go 2 days back from the testing date. So, you know, had to sit down. Our trainer sits down with the coach and the sport administrator, and we kind of go through the schedule for the entire week. And our little COVID group gets involved, and we start doing the contact tracing. We determine who's a close contact and who's not a close contact. And so we had about 8 or 9 or so that were a close contact, so they have to be quarantined. The rest of the team is not. So, but at that point, we don't have enough to play. And so we work with the host institution and let them know where we're at, what's going on. We have to cancel the games. But now the real work begins, because how do you get them back? And so then at that point, we start working with our team doctors and start going over all of our different options. I did not want to leave them out there for a week and have them just sit out there. I wanted to get them home. And so then we start to work with the team doctor and our medical staff and our training staff and our COVID group and find out, okay, how can we do that? What are our options? And then ultimately, we had one of the assistant coaches that was in the quarantine group. They drove back. Okay. It's a 2-day trip back. Be interesting. And then the rest of the team, they come back on their normal flights back. And what's interesting about all this is, based on when those original flights were already coming back, we couldn't change those. But our quarantine group made it back to Vermillion before the rest of the team made it back to Vermillion. But all in all, everybody's back, everybody's safe. Our person that did test positive is actually I'm trying to think about what day it is. They have to wait the full 10 days before they can come back. So we left one of our assistant coaches out there with them. So they were not there alone. And they'll come back this weekend. So overall, it was really a, you know, we had so many decisions that we had to make between, for the most part, primarily on Friday. And then Saturday morning, the plan there was getting everything set in motion and executing it.
You know, and you talk about a group of quarantine softball players. They're scheduled to play in Florida basically for the next week to 10 days, a whole bunch of games. How does last week's situation impact that trip to Florida for the softball team?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, those girls that are in quarantine don't get out of quarantine by the time our team leaves. And so we have enough now with some of the with the rest of the team, and they were portion of this team that did not make that initial trip out to South Carolina. So we have a team that we can field. I mean, we got all of our pitchers and all of our catchers weren't affected. There'll be some young individuals that are going to have to step up and play, but that quarantine group does not end up going to play those games in Florida over spring break. It was, you know, you think about it, none of them will have practiced the entire week. And we really did not want to send them out ones and twos and threes out there by themselves either. And so not, you know, these things are interesting, right? Because they're not decisions that are made lightly, but they're just made of what's in the best interest of the team, of them as individuals, and just logistically, how best can we do all of this? And so, like I said, we've got contingency plans kind of, you know, outlined and shelved. But until you get into one of those scenarios, what we found is that every single time they're going to have to get tweaked a little bit because the information, the circumstances, everything can be a little bit different.
Yeah, it's challenging, no doubt, and it's just crazy. It's a crazy time that we're in, and everybody trying to get through it as best they can. You know, last weekend, the track and field team competed in the Indoor Track and Field Championships. Those were held in Brookings, and I think the women were second as a team, the men third, and overall seemed like pretty good performances. It's just amazing how the track program continues to be at a high level year in and year out, and really throughout the Dakotas, track is a well-respected sport.
Right. You know, and I got to give all the credit to our coaching staff on that one, of what they, how they do things and how they put everything together. I had a chance to talk to Lucky Huber earlier this week, and, you know, as a coach, he would say, you know what, I feel like we did about as well as we could here. I was really disappointed. I thought we could have done better here, and this and that. And he's, you know, they're moving everything around, trying to figure out where they think they should, you know, where they should stack up and who should, how they should place and everything. And, you know, I think he left feeling really good about a lot of the performances that we had. We had some 16 personal bests that were set at that meet by our athletes. Some records, some USD records set at that meet, some meet records set at that meet. So overall, I think he's felt good about it. Wish we could have done better in some other ones that might have moved the men up a spot from third to second, but it is what it is. Now, you know, real quickly, you know, well, you got to turn your attention to the outdoor side of things, but we also did have four athletes qualify for the national meet. So, you know, we're still in a little bit of a limbo of indoor with some four athletes, but now that your attention is turned to the outdoor side of things, and the great thing, right, at least right now, and knock on wood, that it's been nice enough that we can actually get our team outside on our track to be able to start training in the outdoor side of things.
Yeah, the weather's certainly cooperating for some outdoor track this time of year. It's also cooperating for soccer, which will have home meets or home games, I should say, this weekend as they host Omaha. Volleyball's also home this weekend. I know a lot of attention will be on the Summit League tournament. We'll get into that in a moment. But still, home events going on, opportunities for fans to come out and see these athletes, soccer playing Friday, Sunday, volleyball on Saturday and Sunday.
Right. Now's the time where it's going to be the grind, right, for us, because of having multiple games over the course of weekends. You know, it does stretch your staff a little bit. But, you know, with the basketball tournament, Summit League tournament this weekend, you know, the only fans in the stands will be parents. And so it hasn't been able to be like an all hands on deck with all the things that we do with the Summit League tournament. So that part's different. So then you're right. Now we've got soccer matches on Friday and Sunday, and volleyball Saturday, Sunday, and the weekend's full already. And if I'm not mistaken, I think our swim team is actually down in Omaha. Our women's swim team is down in Omaha on Friday. So there's going to be a lot going on this weekend. You know, I think the funny thing is, we were talking that the biggest challenge is trying to remember weekend from one weekend to the next. Okay, who's home, who's away, and where are they? Because they're going to be all over the place right now. But it is exciting, especially to have, you know, games and matches back on campus.
Well, it's just so great to finally see these, you know, give these kids the opportunities to compete. It's really part of the reason that they are here and trying to do the most to give that opportunity. This weekend obviously starts the Summit League tournament, and I know it will look a lot different than it has in years past. Very limited attendance and some of that. But we are getting to the Summit League tournament. We are making it a reality. And I think ultimately that's a win for a lot of people who made this season happen.
You know, John, it really is, because I think there's a lot of people, even in my conversations with Coach Plitzewhite and Coach Lee at the beginning of the season. I mean, we were just, you know, they would ask me, do you really think we're going to get a season in? Do you really think this is going to happen? And I said, look, I think we got a better chance than anything of it happening. I just don't know what it's all going to look like. And, you know, of course, both the men and the women had some games canceled, some series canceled, but for the most part, we got the majority of our schedule in. And, you know, that to me is positive, the way we were able to handle it, the way our training staff, you know, conducted all the testing, all the different hoops that all the teams and the athletes and the coaches had to jump through. Man, did they work their tail off to get to the point where, to get through the season as, hopefully, cross your fingers, as unaffected as possible. And we were able to do that. And so being able to culminate that with the Summit League tournament, I think is huge. And, you know, both the men and the women are the number two seed, and that means you get to play on Saturday, right? You know, the benefit of playing on Saturday, if you, in winning on Saturday, you get Sunday off, you get a day of rest, and then you can go back at it on Monday, Tuesday. So it's three games in 4 days instead of three games in 3 days. So, but without fans in the stands and all the pomp and circumstance, I kind of liken it to, it's like back gym basketball. You know, you just roll the ball out, you play, and whoever, you know, whoever wants it more or whoever shots fall, they're the ones that are going to win, because it's not as if you're going to have a crowd, you know, push you, urge you into winning, or have a crowd, an entire crowd against you during the game. This is just basketball. And so it's going to be interesting in this tournament to see what really happens, because without that fan, you know, that behind a team or even against a team, it'll be interesting to see if that affects how any of the outcome of any of these games. And so, you know, I'm just excited to the fact that we got to this point. I'm excited that track got to host the, got to have the indoor championships. They got to have their championships, and now basketball is going to have their championship. So we were able to navigate the season to get to this point, and that's a huge win. So overall, excited to get this thing going.
No doubt, it takes everyone, and we've still got a lot of sports to get through this this spring, but trending the right direction, and it's fun to see. David, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it as always.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, man.
That's David Herbster, the athletic director at the University of South Dakota. Okay, Yotes fans, let's bank some noise. First Dakota National Bank is here to help you reach all of your financial goals. Bank some noise with First Dakota at firstdakota.com. Member FDIC. From one administrator to another, we're joined now by Jamie Oyen, the Senior Associate AD and SWA at USD, as we talk Summit League Food Fight. Jamie, the Summit League Food Fight is on, and it has been going for a while, but things are obviously different this year. You may have noticed everything's different this year with how we approach different things, but with the Summit League Food Fight, it's currently on. How long does the Summit League Food Fight go?
We started the food fight on February 1st, and it goes through March 31st, so we've got a couple more weeks. We're in the home stretch, and we're in that crucial time when we need our fans to step up and help us finish strong.
Help explain the food fight and why we have it and what its efforts go towards.
The Summit League Food Fight was established quite a few years ago. Our student athlete advisory committees on each campus kind of take charge on their campus to collect food donations for their local food pantry in their community. So right now, not all nine institutions of the Summit League are trying to bring in food donations to help the people in their own home community. And then we total the pounds collected as a league, and we've been doing an outstanding job over the last few years of bringing lots of donations into each community food bank.
You know, it's interesting this year. Usually it's a 2-week competition, but this year it's a 2-month competition. Why the change?
Everything's virtual. Obviously, with the pandemic, we're trying to do things as safe as possible. And normally we get 2 weeks to do as much as we can face to face. We get our fans at our events to bring canned donations or cash donations. And there's a lot of face to face interaction. We usually have a raffle and sell raffle tickets to try to benefit the food pantry as well. And so this time, having to go all virtual, they wanted to give each of the institutions more time to get their donations put in online. So they gave every campus access to a website called YouGiveGoods.com. And through that company, they put out items online that you can purchase, and they're shipped directly to the food pantry. The shipping costs are all factored in. So you just pick a few items, you make your donation, and it gets credited to that campus. So it's an easy way for our fans to give without any contact while still putting food on the shelves for the Vermilion Food Pantry.
And I believe you can make a, if you make a donation, I believe you can purchase in the name of a specific Coyote team. Is that accurate?
That is. That's an exciting new addition this year. Our page is set up that you can see all of our athletic teams. And so if you want to donate on behalf of the swimming team or even a non-Summit League team like the football team, you can pick that and you shop your items, and then that team gets credit. And our teams are really competitive with it right now, which makes it a lot of fun. It started off with soccer coming out of the gate and really taking the lead with a couple hundred pounds. And then all of a sudden, swimming and diving surged forward, and they're at about 416 pounds right now of food collected. So it's become a fun competition. And so I encourage our fans to find your favorite team or find a couple of your favorite teams and donate on their behalf. And you'll see those pound totals increase for those programs.
What's the goal of the food fight? Like the amount we're trying to raise, or is there a set goal?
There is. Each year, usually it's 10,000 pounds, and they put that in our bank as what we are trying to get to. But normally cash is allowed during a normal year, and the cash weight is usually $5 equals 13 pounds. So your pound weight adds up quick with cash. But this year, because of the virtual nature, they've eliminated the cash side of things and just gone to the virtual food donations. So we're a ways off of our 10,000 pounds. We're at 1,400 pounds right now, but we are leading the Summit League by about 700 pounds over SDSU right now. And that's where we want to be. We want to be at the top. We want to win this thing. And so we just want to encourage people to get out and donate and help us get closer to our goal, and then help us to finish at the top of the competition.
Yeah, I was going to ask that about the standings. I don't know if they're posted anywhere or not, or if that's something that internally you keep cheering on in your office, hoping that we get more donations and stay at the top.
There is a spot for our fans to keep an eye on it. There's a spot on our food pantry donation page that says visit challenge page. And when you click on that link, it brings up all other Summit League schools and where they're at in the competition. And so we're sitting at the top, which is where we like to be, at 1,402 pounds. But then SDSU's coming in behind us. They've won this thing a lot. And so we want to try to keep pace and stay ahead of them in this. And then the University of North Dakota behind them. And so I think programs are trying to ramp up in the last few weeks here to get as many donations as they can. But I'd love for our fans to help us stay at the top of this, because ultimately everything that they're putting in their carts and giving us in this competition is going right on the shelves of the Vermilion Food Pantry and helping those in need in Clay County.
Jamie, you've promoted this a lot on social media and seem very, very passionate about the Summit League Food Fight. Where does that passion come from for this cause?
I think it comes, I always love to help people, and I think it comes from seeing a need and wanting to be able to help. I love to help people. And seeing the food pantry, seeing its move to its new location, which has been amazing this year. We have a lot of food insecurity within Clay County. And so knowing that there's a need and knowing that there's a way that our student athletes and our athletic department can help just drives that passion to help this cause. And I love seeing all the food donations come in every year and being able to deliver those personally. We won't get to do that this year with the virtual nature, but normally it's great to be able to bring those things in and help see an empty shelf filled up and knowing that that's going to put food in families' tables.
How do we set up an event, a charity event, to raise money for this where administrators from all the schools are actually involved in a food fight?
I would absolutely love to see that. We get past this pandemic, that would be great. Even if it's a situation of a pie in the face, that would be great. But it's just, I think it's fun that all the schools are pushing each other to try to help their own communities. And each community is a little different. A food bank in Kansas City is different than a food bank in Vermilion. And so everybody's got their own level of need. And I think it's awesome that we're all trying to push to help those in our community.
All right, so we need everybody to go in and donate a little bit. You can buy canned or buy foods on a website, and that all goes to contribute to this. Jamie, again, how do fans get involved if they haven't already, and how do they be a part of this?
Our link directly is yougivegoods.com/SummitLeagueFoodFight 2021. And in there, you will find the University of South Dakota and be able to donate. Like I said, on behalf of one of our teams, we would absolutely love to have all of our fans pick their favorite teams and put some pound weight into this competition. There are links on our social media as well as our webpage, goyotes.com, for accessing the donation sites. And we would love to have everybody participate.
All right. Such a great cause. Jamie, thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it. And let's go win us a food fight.
Sounds great. Thanks, John.
That's Jamie Oyen, Senior Associate AD and Senior Women's Administrator at the University of South Dakota. This weekend, the University of South Dakota soccer team will recognize a senior for her contributions to the program over the last 4 years. Her name is Sunny Hittner, and I had a chance to catch up with Sunny and talk to her about her career at USD. Sunny, as you guys have got the season underway and you continue through your season, I know things are quite different, just the timing of games and the time of year, that kind of thing. How has your team adapted to all of the changes that we've had this year and just made the most of it?
This year, especially with fall and starting practice and stuff, I feel like all the changes have just become the new normal. And so, like, we used to go to the locker room and, like, have music playing and stuff before games, but now we're able to just adapt and, like, do that kind of stuff, like, at the field, and, like, usually we walk over as a team. So just making the most out of it. I think that as a team, we've had a lot of, like, things to adapt to with, like, new coach and everything. So I don't know. I think we're just an easy kind of going team, so we just roll with whatever is happening.
Yeah, and you kind of have to do that, especially this time of year with practicing. And I know that recently we've had nicer weather, but it hasn't always been nice to go outside and play soccer. And I know it's been challenging with the dome being used for so many things, especially this year. How have you had to adapt with practices and fitting in maybe inside the Dakota Dome and practice time shifting, maybe different than it normally would be?
We're definitely practicing in much colder weather this year. Usually, like, we've practiced in, like, the snow this year, rain, sleet, anything. And so we've definitely had to adapt that way because usually, yeah, we get to practice in the dome, but it hasn't changed that much because we've always had practice in the dome at like 7 o'clock at night, which kind of stinks, but it's much better than practicing in like negative degree weather outside.
They don't make enough clothes for that, do they?
No.
Well, you've obviously grown in your career and spent your career at USD. When you look back, how do you look at your career and your time at USD?
I've had so much fun. It's definitely an experience that I wouldn't trade for anything. I've met some of my best friends here, and it's just been a really fun time. I come from a big city, so the small town was definitely a change, but it feels like home now to me, and it's just been really fun. Yeah, this week is senior week, so it's going to be kind of like bittersweet.
Yeah, and playing off of that, obviously you're going to be recognized this week, and it's going to be special. It's going to be emotional. Have you allowed yourself to think about what that senior day will be like for you?
No, not really. It's just kind of, I don't know how I'm going to feel because, I've been playing soccer since I was like 5. And so the thought of not being able to play anymore I just haven't really thought about it because it's something that has taken up so much time of my life. And soccer really has been like my entire life. So it's going to be definitely a big change to adapt to once it's over.
So you got involved in soccer at a young age, and I would imagine it was something that you kind of got put into as just something to do at a young age. What was it about soccer that, I guess, gave you that motivation to continue playing and continue that career throughout high school and eventually into college?
Growing up, I played soccer, ran cross country, did softball, basketball. My parents really put me in like a bunch of different sports to try, and soccer is just kind of the one that I excelled at. And a lot of my friends growing up from like elementary school, we were all on the same teams together, and so we would go to like different soccer tryouts together, and there was like a core group of us that really just stuck with soccer. And so I think that had a big role in it, but mostly just skill level, like it was just what I was best at. And then my mom really like pushed me to be the best that I could be, and like made a lot of sacrifices for me to be on the top teams and travel with me every single weekend. And that led to me getting looks from colleges and ended up here.
Well, I'd imagine as you go through the emotional senior weekend, thinking about the sacrifices your mom made, those are going to really come to mind and probably flood the emotions a little bit, thinking about everything that she's helped you accomplish.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think it's going to be definitely probably emotional for her too, because she's been watching me play for so long, and like we've gotten so close from it because we would be traveling together every single weekend. And I know she really loves watching me play, and so I think it's going to be really emotional for her as well.
When you look back and you were going through high school on the travel teams and you started to get looked at by colleges, you had the opportunity to play at the University of South Dakota. Ultimately, what led you to that decision?
I got emails from them, and so I was just like, okay, like I'm just gonna go to a camp, see how I like it and everything. And being recruited, it was from Mandy and Josh before Michael was here, but besides like them recruiting me, all the girls that were working the camp and everything were very, very welcoming, and it was just like felt like home like immediately when you stepped onto the campus. And it was just something where I'm also super close to home. I'm only 4.5 hour drive away, which was a big part of the decision for me. But yeah, it just felt like home. And I just like got here and I could just picture myself here for 4 years. And I feel like the girls, especially when I came on my visit, just really gave me a good experience and made the decision a lot easier for me.
When you look at this season, you got the season started playing at Kansas City. And for those who don't know, you are from nearby Overland Park, Kansas. It would have been neat if they were in the league the entire time during your career, but how cool was that to play a conference contest at Kansas City, kind of in your own backyard?
Yeah, it was so fun because our hotel was called the Country Club Plaza, and it's somewhere that me and my sister always like to go and just walk around at the little shops, and so it was fun to go on our team walks and everybody like asking me questions. I was able to tell them all about it, and it just hit home because it was just like, oh yeah, like I'm playing back home. Like this is where I grew up and this is where like I came from. So it was just a really cool opportunity.
How much has the soccer program changed at USD in your time, in your 4 years here?
It has changed a lot. I think team chemistry is the biggest thing that's changed. It's really like family oriented now. And obviously with Michael, he is running things differently. And we've really he's developed us into a better team. And our skill level, I think, has gone up. We play a different strategy, I would say, and it just works well with us. And yeah, he's really shifted the program for the better.
I think right around the time that you would have got here, it would have been the start of the new facility, the new soccer complex. How cool has that been to see the commitment to having a new facility for soccer here?
It's so cool. It's such a nice turf field, and it's just beautiful there too. And we all really appreciate everybody that works, like helps keep the facility and all the dome and all the other facilities up to par. And they all put so much work into it. So it's really nice being able to like represent the school and play there.
What should fans know and understand about the soccer program or about this year's team as you guys coming off a couple of close losses at Denver, but trying to plug away throughout the season? What should fans know about this year's team?
That we are looking to make the conference tournament and don't like put us aside because we've been working so hard and we have the skill level to do so, and that like we're here to play and we want to make the tournament and ultimately win it. And we have the group of girls that are able to do that.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing your progress throughout the course of the year and continuing to cheer on the soccer team. Sonny, thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
That's Sonny Hintner, a women's soccer player, senior for the University of South Dakota. For the past decade, there's only been one place to watch your favorite coaches, players, and teams. That place is Midco Sports Network, celebrating 10 years of sports this season. This past weekend, the University of South Dakota indoor track and field teams went to the Indoor Track and Field Championships at in Brookings, and the Coyotes came away team finish-wise. The women's side finished in second place. The men were in third, and we're joined now by Director of Track and Field and Cross Country, Lucky Huber. Lucky, as you look at last weekend, it looked like a pretty solid overall weekend, but overall, what were your thoughts on the weekend and the performances?
Well, you know, it's kind of been interesting. The North Dakota State, South Dakota State, and us have been rivals from a long time. You know, the old North Central Conference days, now all in the Summit League together. And it's really been interesting to see the level of track and field that has raised. You know, we always thought it was pretty good when we were in the North Central and it was good Division II track. Now it's getting to this level where it's really, really good Division I track, and we've got some great track and field athletes in our league, and it's kind of exciting to see how it's grown and improved and how each school's kind of embraced that opportunity to do Division I, and I think overall a lot of schools are doing really good at this level. So it's exciting, but it also makes the track meets a lot tougher too. But there's some great track and field this weekend. It was definitely the best conference meet I've ever been a part of.
You know, it's amazing seeing how much track and field has continued to grow. And as you talk about the competition just right around us, but obviously at South Dakota, there's been a lot of success in the pole vault, and that seemed to continue this past weekend.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that was one of the things that when we first made the transition, we wanted to have something that we would kind of be a highlight and something that we would kind of build around. And I feel like our pole vault program has done that. Our vaulters have competed really well. And now our men vaulters are starting to do some other events too. So that's kind of exciting. Trey also hurdled for us, and Marshall was overscoring in the high jump. So we feel like that's really building. And then we've seen our other event groups kind of do the same thing. For example, our men's high jump group is really filled out and very similar. I think they scored 28 points in the meet themselves. So we feel like we have some pockets of things that are going really well and some individuals and some events that are just dynamic. And we just want to keep building on that and getting a little bit better every day.
You know, one of the great performances over this past weekend, Sarah, the Hardington native, was newcomer of the championship. Really, really cool to see her success so young in her career.
You know, I would go even farther than that and say she was the probably stud of the meet, even though there was a transfer from North Dakota State that went in and won three events and really looked good. For to see a true freshman come in and compete like she did, and there were some coaches that hadn't seen her run before, and they were like, wow, she just looked really good. And it was so fun to see. It's really been fun to see her develop. She's a very quiet, shy person, but you can kind of see she's having fun, and she's got that smile on her face, and her teammates have really embraced her in a really neat way. That doesn't always happen. Sometimes when you have a freshman sensation come in, other kids feel like, oh, she's going to take my spot. And our kids have not done it that way at all. They've looked at her as this is someone that's going to make our team better and give us a chance to win a conference title. And it's really been fun to see her development this past few months. And it's crazy to think about where she could be at in another 4 or 5 years.
Did you feel like you had any surprises in the meet? Some athletes that stepped up that maybe finished a little higher than you had anticipated?
You know, in a conference meet, we kind of always go in and kind of have an idea. We had a lot of those kids that did that. You know, you look at the kids that won, and we kind of thought, okay, those are going to happen. But, you know, there's a good example. There's a girl by the name of Liberty Justice that probably nobody even knows about. She's a girl from Sioux Falls, nursing major, going to be in the nursing program next year, that kind of kid that just works hard every day. And earlier in the year, she did her first pentathlon, and, you know, with COVID, and she didn't do real well in December. And she kept working harder and harder, and she was seeded 10th going into the meet and right on the bubble of, do you put her on the conference team or not? And she went in and performed really well and just ended up being ranked 6th at the end and scoring a few more points. And so it's kids like that that really kind of keep driving the program and getting it better, because that's where you win a conference meet, those kids that go in and score a few points and knock another team down a little bit. So she was an example. You know, our distance kids are always amazing too. You look at someone like Murga. Murga ran the 3K, came back and ran the mile, and then came back and ran the 5K. John, I'm not sure how far you ran this week, but I think he ran more in those 2 days than you and I have in our months training. And he went out and just PR'd in all three of those events. And when you think about all that we asked those distance kids to do, it was really impressive to see him compete at that high level, and Jonna Bart and all those other kids. So, you know, overall, it was just, I thought a lot of our kids really stepped up and moved up a couple points. And that's what makes conference meet so exciting.
You know, one of the athletes that we've had here on our podcast, Holly Gerberding, she looked like she had a good weekend in the pentathlon.
She had an amazing weekend. This is a kid who, you know, she's a great kid. She kind of picked USD because we've got a great med school here and she wants to be a doctor. And, but her high school coach was someone that was on the team with me, was coached by Coach Scott Slabin. He called me up, lucky, I think this kid can be a college athlete. And she came in and she really didn't even know how to jump because she was a hurdler. And now she's jumped 19.2 and made our all time list. And just dominated. She would have had a bigger pentathlon score, but we kind of backed her down because we knew she had the win. And we wanted her to be a little fresher for the hurdles. She ran great in the hurdles and then ran the leadoff leg on the 4x4 that ended up being conference champions also. So she did have a great meet. It was really fun to see her and see how she's developed and progressed. And you're right, she had a big meet.
Lucky, now the attention turns to the NCAA Indoor Track and Field Championships. That's coming up here in a couple of weeks, or a little over a week, I guess, in Fayetteville, Arkansas. All four athletes that you have qualified will be competing in the championships for the first time. Obviously, two of them, unfortunately, last year the meet cut short before they could compete. But four qualifiers for the indoor track and field championships.
Yeah, you know, we're excited about that. And in our league's got 13 kids in the meet, and we think that's a good sign, too, that there's going to be some familiarity and some other good kids in our conference that are there. So that'll be fun. And what's been a little tough about this COVID season is usually we have enough indoor meets that we have really high levels of competition. You know, we in the past we go to Iowa or Iowa State or Nebraska or Minnesota where you kind of see some, and we haven't really seen that level. So I think our kids will be really looking forward to that level of getting in and competing against, you know, some of the top kids in the nation. And I feel like all four of those kids can go there and score points, which is in the top eight, and really compete for us well. They're all great kids that have worked really hard and been really consistent in their performances all season long. So I'm excited to see what they can do. A little disappointed about what their national meet experience will be, but I will guarantee you it will be better than what it was a year ago when we were at practice and got sent home. So
yeah, no doubt. As you look at that, you talked about the schedule and not seeing some of the higher competition that you normally would. How much have these kids just fought through this year with the changes in the schedule, with all the challenges that have been presented? How has their training been different without seeing some of those meets or being at some of those places that maybe they normally would get the opportunity to compete at?
You know, I think it's been a little bit tougher for these top kids. Does that make sense? So the average kid on the team goes to NDSU and USD, and we have competition for everybody. But you look at, for example, our pole vaulters go to a lot of meets, and there's no one challenging them. You know, so Brighton hasn't been really beat all year. The next closest person has been his teammate. And Hugo's a great competitor and right up there with him, but it's still not really fast next to you that kind of pushes you to the next level. So excited to see what happens when they get in the meet. They have to step another notch to be able to compete. And I think these kids will be able to do that. I'm excited to see what's going to happen. We all rise up when we have competition.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
You either sit in the corner and don't do well, or you rise up. And these are type of kids that will rise up. So I think we're going to have some big things happen.
How do you hope some of the success in the indoor season parlays into the outdoor season, which isn't too far away?
You know, for us, we don't really even, because in a training world, you don't even think of it as seasons. You just keep building. We use an analogy around here that we're cooking chili. We're just making kids better. We're just doing these things over and over and over and just trying to get to another level and keep putting in whatever they need to make it better. And so with these kids, we'll just kind of come back and we'll tweak a little bit of training, see what we need to learn, and then start raising up. And at the end of March, we'll be at the Texas Relays, which is always a great meet for the Coyotes. So we'll just kind of bring them back, get stuff going, and then we're going to head down to Texas. We're hoping the Drake Relays will go, so we'll have the Drake Relays. We'll have a big great meet in Kansas in early May, so we're going to have a lot of opportunities for these kids to compete, and we'll just keep coming back and keep getting a little bit better, keep training harder, and trying to reach our goals of being the best in the country.
We'll look forward to seeing how the competitions continue to go and how the athletes do down in Fayetteville, Arkansas, for the Indoor Track and Field Championships as well. Lucky, thanks so much for the time. Have a safe trip to Fayetteville and everywhere else. Appreciate your time.
Sounds good. Thanks. Have a great day.
He's Lucky Huber, the Director of Track and Field and Cross Country at the University of South Dakota. Well, as we get set to wrap things up, let's get you caught up on what's coming up in Coyote Athletics. And, of course, football this week is on a Thursday, so we'll focus all of our efforts over the weekend on home contests and the Summit League tournament, because that's all coming up here over the weekend. But for the weekend, the softball team is in Florida. They start their spring break trip, and they will compete over the next several days, over the next week plus in Florida against many different teams. But they are scheduled to play Friday against Central Michigan. They're scheduled to play on Saturday against Stetson and also against Toledo. They'll play more games over the weekend as well. But for softball, they are in Florida for the weekend. Women's soccer on Friday at 4 o'clock will play host to Omaha. The soccer team will also host Omaha on Sunday. Swimming and diving is at Omaha for a Friday evening competition that is women only down in Omaha. On Saturday, the women's triathlon team is set to compete in Claremont, Florida. That is early, early Saturday morning. Women's volleyball is back home. The volleyball team will play host to Oral Roberts. It's a 1 o'clock start time for that. And then, of course, the Summit League Tournament first round. The Coyote women will play at 2:45 against Oral Roberts, and the Coyote men at 8:45 against Western Illinois. So that is coming up on Saturday. And then as we go through the Sunday weekend, more softball games. I mentioned soccer, volleyball also playing on Sunday at home in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. It's a 1 o'clock start time, so if you can make it and get tickets, do so. Head to the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. So that is what is coming up. And then hopefully on Monday we'll have some semifinals to pay attention to for both men's and women's basketball. The championships of the Summit League Tournament are, of course, set for Tuesday. That's what's coming up in Coyote Athletics. That is going to do it for us here in this episode of Yotecast. Thanks so much for your time. As always, download and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Download and subscribe. You'll always get notified when a new episode is posted. That is going to wrap it up for me. Thanks so much for your time. I'm John Thayer. Have a great rest of your weekend, and until next time, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Coyote Sports Network.